the times we're living in are so refreshing to us and encouraging us. And I was talking to my neighbor through the woods a little bit, and we were talking, and I told him about our Sunday drive-in service, and he said, tell me about it. I'll go to it. My wife and I will go to that, so that'll be interesting to see what actually happens. I was in the vehicle that we have, which has the arm so that our workers, Todd and Scott, and can go up and change the light bulbs in the lampposts in the driveway and in the parking lot. And I went up a little bit and just to get a feel of it. So I'm in training, and we anticipate a good time of honking our horns and waving and seeing each other. As Big Dave said in his prayer, God, you are speaking to us. And in a way, sometimes you might think he is shouting to people. We want to think about what God is doing, and we can see in the world that it takes a crisis like this one worldwide that can affect the world in such a way that it brings us closer to what God wants to do in history. For God is doing something. We are unique people. I think you can see my iPad here. Draw the earth like this. Okay, good. And the earth is very simple. The earth, we are going somewhere. We have a beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. And we see at the end of our Bible a new heaven and a new earth. We would not know this if we were left to ourselves without our Bible. We are very much prone to invent in our own mind the world as we see it, the world as we feel it, the world as we think it. But in Romans chapter 3, it says that the Jewish people have an advantage. I'd like to read that. Romans 3. What advantage then has the Jew? Today is the beginning of Passover for the Jewish people, the Jewish Passover. Very important holiday. Actually, it is the beginning of their year. God said that to them in Exodus chapter 12. That the night that the death angel passed over Egypt, killing every firstborn of every living thing, cattle, dog, human being, every firstborn of every living thing died that night, except the Jew who had blood on his doorpost. We would not know this story except we have the scripture. This is the advantage that the Jew has. What advantage has the Jew? The Jew has the scripture. We are in a pestilence, a time of a plague around the world. What advantage has the believer? It's the same as what the Jew has. He has the scripture. Because the scripture tells us about the beginning and where we are going. I don't like to say the end, for there is real no end. No, there is no end. There is a new heaven and a new earth. But if you met people on the street, You met people that have no background in the scripture. You meet people that know chemistry and physics and IT and technology, but they have no understanding of the scripture. What does the Jew have? They have the scripture. Read it with me, verse 2, 1. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. What's their advantage? Their way of thinking. What is their advantage? The scripture. The oracles of God is another phrase for the scripture. What advantage has the believer in these days? It's the scripture. This is an amazing change in a person's life when they begin to realize, I may be wrong. I may be wrong. Or I am wrong. I'm not sure. How do I understand the world that I am in? It is one many people have, they have no idea where it's going. We have words like tragedy. We have meaninglessness. We have violence. We have words like fear. Words like no one knows. No one has come back from the dead. There is no one that really knows. We have words like there's aliens in other parts of the universe. Many different ideas. We all know it. We grew up with it. We know it. And then, when we saw Jesus Christ, when we realized that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, that he is the Messiah, that no one has spoken like this man, Luke 4:22. When we realize that his wisdom silences people, that he said, my Father and I are one. I return to my Father. I have many houses. My Father has many. In my Father's house there are many mansions. And if it was not so, I would tell you. So here's where we're going with this. There's a number of places, but number one is I want to make a big declaration tonight about the scriptures. The scriptures. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we have the comfort of the scripture. The reality, the life-giving nature of the scriptures. And we have here words to Timothy, Paul's primary disciple, the man that Paul is committing the ministry to. You cannot commit the ministry just to anyone. The ministry is committed to somebody who must know the scripture. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, that Timothy has known the scripture from a child, verse 15, and then 15, that from a child you have known the holy scriptures. I cannot emphasize this enough. Young men, learn the scripture. Young ladies, learn the scripture. Moms, dads, learn the scriptures. That's why we are in this church. It's the scripture. If I can learn the scripture, I will understand the nature of the universe, because I will then understand the nature of God. If I understand the nature of God, I will also understand, this was our morning devotional, that the character of the universe is really connected with the character on the throne. On the throne in heaven. Revelation chapter 7, but chapter 5, we see the amazing picture, and we see Christ slain, freshly slain in heaven. And then in chapter 7, verse 17, we see him as a Lamb of God on the throne. This is the nature of the universe, the Lamb of God. Not violence, but the Lamb of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the sacrifice of God, the nature of the universe. Eventually, one day, there will be no more death. There will be no evil. There will be no sin. There will be no pain. There will be no sorrow. Because God made the universe to reveal him. And who is he? He is the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb. He is God who is a Lamb. We would never know this unless we knew the Scripture. But now we know this. We are learning. Never really getting it in our hands. Some philosophers said, if I caught the truth in my hand, I would let it go so I could follow it. We have the truth, and then it's a person that he is who he is, and we follow him, and then we have him. And then it's, in a way, we let him go. He leads us. We don't control him. He is our God. And we are very happy to be submitted to him because he is worthy of our devotion. Because he is so lovable. He has raptured us. He has caught us. He has arrested us. But how would this ever happen? What advantage has the Jew? The Jew has the Scripture. What advantage has the Christian? The Christian has the Scripture. And what does it do? Look at verse 15. It says, it is able to make you wise unto salvation. I'm sorry to say, I could go to a university campus and ask somebody, do you know anything about salvation? I know nothing of what you're talking about. You go to a YMCA, to a young man, do you know anything about salvation? A coffee shop, just talk to people, you know, as we do normally, however it goes with the virus thing, and you understand what I'm saying. And you say, do you know anything about salvation? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what that is. Somebody might say, they may get close to it, I feel I would like to be saved. I would like to be, I don't know what that, do I need to be saved? Yes, you do. Do you know how? I don't know anything about it. They are not wise unto salvation, but you are. And here comes the main portion of our message, and this is number two, is Passover. This is a story that the Jewish people were told to repeat all through their history to their sons and their daughters. A miracle is about to happen in Egypt as they are slaves in Egypt, without any rights to go anywhere, to have money, to own any property, to possess something, to have power, influence. They had no rights. They were slaves, subject to a very vigorous and worldwide empire, the Egyptian Empire, and the Jews were nobodies. They had wandered, or they had been sent down to Egypt, but they were a wandering people in the Promised Land under Abraham and his small family of 75 people. And when Jacob and Joseph went down to Egypt, but was sold down, and time later, Jacob and his family ran out of food. They went down there to get food in Egypt, not knowing that Joseph was saving them. Joseph sent for the whole family, his father included Jacob, and everybody, come down to Egypt and they'll have good land. Well, somehow it morphed. It changed by another Pharaoh. And this other Pharaoh did not know Joseph, and he did not know the Lord. And 430 years passed. They are slaves. They are in bondage. It reminds us of the condition that we are in as people in this world. We are slaves of ourselves, slaves of sin, our own desires, ambitions, lusts, pride. There were two very proud men back in the early 19th century, latter part of the 1700s, Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr, both very highly trained, highly accomplished lawyers, politicians, political leaders, and they had a duel. And Aaron Burr shot and killed Alexander Hamilton. And I wonder why that happened. The pride of man, the conflict, how it's hard to say I'm wrong. It's hard to be humble. I don't know all the details about it, but I know that the contest between the two was too hard to put down. And they were in such contention. And I think this is the story of the human race. We are our own worst enemy. That our sin is what holds us captive. We are like slaves in Egypt. Though we are in the 21st century, there are people in their homes that are in fear. And it's not a bad thing to be in your home. And that's a very good thing. And keep yourself safe as God leads you and guides you. But another thing, another part of that is the fear that grips the hearts of people. The anxiety. Do you know about salvation? I know nothing about it. I am wise concerning salvation. How did you become wise about salvation? I have the scripture. What advantage does a Jew have? A Jew has the scripture. Well, what is the scripture about? It's about everything important. It's about the beginning and where we're going. Do you know that a crisis like this will be what will be used to usher in the Antichrist sometime in the future? We know the technology of the day is incredible as it tracks people, facial recognition, that we are losing our privacy and our protective sense. That it's all being subject to the technological capability that has been built up in our civilization. What do I need? I need the scripture to know what is going on. I'd like to know about the end times, if that's what these are. It seems to me that the human race is being brought just as the scripture is saying. And keep your eye on Israel. It is obvious that this nation is a signpost. It's a flag. The flag is up. There's a message that there's something happening. Keep your eyes and hearts open to God and the scripture. Because the Passover is the message of salvation. And I'll explain it to you in simple terms here tonight. The Jews are in their home. They're told to put the blood of the lamb. And this is three words I want to share. This is so interesting about this salvation. Salvation. We are wise concerning it. Amazing. The scripture teaches us. We are much more wrong than we realize. that we are slaves and maybe don't know it, that we are troubled deep in our hearts about what is happening in life, and we need a salvation. And we have the first part here is blood, and this is in Exodus chapter 12. Turn with me there, please, to that portion. Exodus 12. Verse 3. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. A lamb, I want to put the word here. Later in our Bible, in the book of Revelation, we read about the lamb on the throne. That shows you how much the Bible is interwoven with every part connected with other parts to teach us doctrine. That's how we learn, here a little and there a little. And we realize what God is saying to make us wise concerning a subject that kind of evades people, like salvation. It's like, I don't know what that is, or I don't know, I don't understand that, or I've got my own way, or I've got some ideas, I've got my own ideas. Yeah, but do you know the scripture? No, I don't know the scripture, I don't care about the Bible, it's too hard to understand, I have no understanding about it. That's because you must be born again to understand this book. And when it starts to speak to you, and the Spirit shows you, you find treasure in the book. We are like people walking through a field, and we stumbled on a something coming out of the field, and we stop and look, and we find it's a treasure chest buried, but the lid is a little bit above ground. We stumbled over it, and we looked and realized, and we went home and sold everything we had and came and bought the field. And then built up or dug up the treasure. What advantage has the Jew? The scripture. What advantage has the believer? The scripture. It makes you wise concerning salvation. In the United States of America, the need for us is to be wise concerning salvation. In the different countries of the world, where what is needed, the message of salvation. But how can it be preached if we're not wise about salvation? And this is a story we didn't make up. It comes from another. It comes from God. It was God that told the Jews that take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost. Look at with me. It says, and take every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And then he explains it in verse 4 and 5 and 6 and verse 7. That's what I'll read. They shall take of the blood, strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. If you put the blood there. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. Verse 12. The story is a lot of detail, very interesting. Every part of it is precious. And I don't mean to go over these important elements, but I want to make the message this simple. I want to say something that you and I did not invent the story. That this story was not written by a philosopher or a professor or some wayward person who's crazy. This is written by God. This is a message to the whole world. that the blood, it's the blood that is important for salvation. There is no salvation without the shedding of blood. But everybody goes their own way. Isaiah 53, verse 6. We have turned everyone to our own way. And we are not wise about salvation. We just think, maybe this is it. Or, I don't know, how do you feel about this? And many other human expressions that are that from lost people who do not understand what it is that God has done through Jesus Christ, His Son, when He sent Him in John 1:29 as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Wow. So the Jews would put the blood on the doorposts, and they were to tell their children every generation, and they were to do this Passover as celebrated every year at the same time, the 10th day of that month, and they were to teach them, and they were to make sure, and there are many elements in the exercise that are very fascinating, like no leaven in the house. There could be no leaven. It's another point, and I want to just kind of scoot by it, but I've got to say it because it's so fascinating. Yeast is what it is, yeast. It's a small plant that grows, and that you put water and a little warmth, and that plant produces gas. And that gas in the flower causes the air in the flower, the air from that gas causes it to rise. And it takes some time, some hours, for this yeast to work and for the dough to rise. I'm not a baker, so I don't really know all about the timing of it, but it takes some time. And God said, no yeast, no yeast, no leaven in your house, no yeast is allowed. You are in a hurry. You have to eat your bread on the way. You have to get out of Egypt and have no yeast. And in principle, the yeast represents the ungodliness. It represents the contaminating influences of the world that kind of get into life and slowly affect the whole community. The lump of dough in 1 Corinthians 5 means the whole community is affected by this yeast, this false doctrine and false teaching that comes into every one of our minds, every one of our hearts. We have some lie that comes into our heart and we start to believe a lie, and it's like yeast that kind of grows and affects, contaminates us personally and then the people that I am with. And we change quickly by the yeast. But when they did the Passover, God said for 7 days, unleavened bread, no leavened bread, no bread with any yeast. Remove it. It is not accepted. You have to be clean from the world. You have to be sanctified unto me. Yeah, and in our New Testament, it means for us that my mind is renewed day by day, Romans 12, 2 and 3, so I don't believe a lie about God. I don't believe a lie about His plan. I don't believe a lie about myself. I don't believe a lie about my brother or my sister. But there's a purity of spirit, a spirit purity of truth, a purity regarding the nature and the character of the universe, that this is a good place. It's a good place. The universe is ours in Christ Jesus. It's a place of violence and wild animals and accidents and car accidents and diseases and cancers and other things. That's what it is. No. That is here, but the essence of it is not that. The essence of this world is the Lamb of God who is seated on the throne, who is fulfilling a divine purpose. The essence of this universe is glory and praise and thanksgiving and truth and wisdom and reality and encouragement and eternal life. You say, yeah, but what about the death? I know. Jesus came and died on the cross. He gave his blood. Violent death. Violent death on the cross. The Son of God, but the Son of God would say, this is not the true character and nature of the world I made. This is a bump in the road. This is a lie. This is sin. This is Satan. This is death. This is the curse. This is what has to be for now. But I will humble myself and take it on. And my weakness is actually strength. And my foolishness is actually wisdom. And keep your eye on me, for I am God. I am the God who humbles myself and is submitted and obedient and humble. And I am love, and love never fails. I am God. That's the nature of this world. It's love. It's God. Now in closing, salvation, blood. Blood, there's a big whole message on blood. You know, our blood in our bodies. Well, we are now in a scientific world, and we hear about the diseases and so on, and antibodies and antigens and blood plasma. And what is it about blood? Blood is such a unique substance. God made it. There's a message in it. But physical blood cleanses us of our infections and various things. Physical blood has many properties and values. It's the very thing that keeps us alive. It has hemoglobin, and it attaches with oxygen, and we are able to feed ourselves oxygen and take away the carbon dioxide and so on. Blood. Why did God choose blood? Because of this substance. And he's saying, you must be clean. But I know if I got blood on my shirt, I know I'd have blood stain. If I took blood and put it all on a table, there'd be blood there. But blood is cleaning. Blood has a cleansing character. Blood heals wounds. Blood is the very life of the soul is in the blood. Life of the soul is in the blood. Leviticus 17, verse 11. And God is saying, I will give my very life, my son, and through his precious blood, eternal blood, blood that is unique without sin, blood that is special, the blood of the Son of God. How would I be wise about salvation if I did not know about the blood? And how would I know about the blood if I had no Bible? And how would I have a Bible without the Jewish people? The Jewish people tell us about the Passover. The Jewish people tell us it is the blood. Not the Buddhists and the Hindus and the Islamic folks or me or you or anybody else. It is God that tells us about it. And what does he say? Blood. Number two, he says, faith. Faith, do it. I could see a Jewish family in Egypt saying, I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that. I don't believe that. I don't want to do that. I could see that happening. I'm not interested. But do it. Moses said, do it. We're going to do it. We do it. And death passes. Yeah, my little boy, my little girl in my house lives through the night. It's a message of salvation. It's a message that the people of the world need to hear. that it's the blood of the Son of God that saves us. It's the blood of the Son of God that washes our sins away. It's the blood of the Son of God that gives us the gospel. That is the gospel. It's the blood of the Son of God that saves a soul. It's an amazing thing when we see a man or a woman come to Christ and they walk away clean. They come to Christ, maybe it takes a little while as they understand it and God works in their heart, and they then decide they believe. The minute they believe, they are justified by the blood of Christ. Romans 5 and verse 9. That's all. It could not be works over 6 months' time. It could not be improving your life over 3 years. It could not be making a big effort at it for 3 weeks. It can never work. It's not about you and I doing our best. It's about sinners that are saying, there's something, I don't understand it. I need help. I need salvation. I need another message. What do you have to say to me? And God says, believe in my Son. And then third thing and the last thing is grace. Grace. There's a woman in Egypt, Jewish woman, her husband, they put the blood on the doorposts, and they're told that the death angel will pass over tonight. And the woman's nervous about it. And she's walking around in her little shack, wherever they live, the slaves, nothing, dirt floor, muddy, in poverty. But she has a precious little child, and she's nervous and can't sleep that night. And the blood is on the doorpost, and she's really not believing. She's worried and troubled and doesn't have much faith. But the death angel passes over, not because she's a strong believer, but the death angel passes over because of the blood. She is not a strong believer, but God is for her. God is for that family. God is for you. God is for me every day of your life. Please understand that the nature and the character of the universe, let's say it another way, that the nature and the character of God, the nature and character of his desire for you, he speaks words of peace toward you. You have an expected end. If something he has anticipated and planned for you in Jeremiah 29:11. And it's all by grace. Grow in grace. Enjoy grace. Bathe in grace. Be loved by God. Be encouraged in grace. Minister grace. Learn grace. Because this world is starving for grace. They are needing salvation, but not a salvation of works and law, and may I say, in a qualified way, religion. They are not interested in that. And in a sacred sense, yes, but in a way, a program, no. They need Jesus Christ as a living Messiah, the Savior who walks in the candlestick, amongst the candlesticks. The Savior who shows up by the seashore and tells Peter, cast your net on the right side. And he's amazed at what happens because of grace. They need a Christ that shows up in Pentecost and sends the Spirit of God to this group of 120 people in the upper room, and they realize what grace is. And I need it too. And in this time in our homes and in this unique time where we can't see each other physically, I can imagine you. I can see you in my heart. I can see this room full of people in my heart. I anticipate coming together again. But long before that happens, it is okay because we see. While we look not at the things that are seen, we are looking at what is not seen. We see a throne high and lifted up in Isaiah 6, and his train fills the temple. We see the Spirit of God moving in the end times. Maybe that's a long time. I don't know when he's returning. But we can see the world is shaking, and people are thinking, and political leaders, and there are activities, and for sure there is a direction that we know will be fulfilling the Bible prophecy, and we can teach that sometime, but that's it. Your salvation is something you understand. You are wise concerning salvation. Not because you spend hours by yourself pondering things in the woods and thinking about things on your own without this book. Without this book, you'll never get there. Without this book, you won't be clear. Without this book, you become subjective. Without this book, you won't understand it. Without this book, you'll have no gospel message. Without this book, you will not have the wisdom. Without this book, you will not have a message, a kind message, a loving message, but a real message. But I walk in the woods, my wife and I, last weeks. We've enjoyed that a lot. I'm sure you've done that too. But I'm saying those are beautiful times, and meditation and prayer and times of fellowship and beautiful times. But over and over again, I'm indebted to the gifts of grace that God has been given to us. God has given to us so that we could understand this and share it in a world that needs it. They are wise on so many levels, but not on salvation. There are so many smart, gifted, powerful people, but they don't know anything about salvation. And that's what we shared tonight. Yeah, wow. Amen. Thank you, God. Would you pray with me? Father, for every family tonight listening as part of this body and all the others as well, we bow our heads before you as God, and we are unworthy of talking this way, but we can, and we are privileged to, because you have said it. We are thankful that every one of us have something to say, that we have clarity. We have God's authority to say your sins are forgiven if you've accepted Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. You are born of God. You're a child of God. Walk by faith in him and you will know him. And Father, help us, Lord, in these times in our personal life as we learn to walk with you in our walk of faith. Bless our families, our activities, our work, our jobs, details of our life. Guide us in the way and lead us and take care of us all. Those that are grieving for loss today, give them the comforter and give them the message of grace, the message of Christ, we pray. Bless our pastors and workers and leaders worldwide, our schools and Bible colleges, activities and missionaries worldwide. In Jesus' name, amen.